Hello. Fred Kuhn interviews our next guest expert. And now, here's Fred.
Welcome, everybody. Got a great show today. My guest, John Bly, is a founding member of LBA Haynes Strand and Strand Capital Advisors. And what he brings is Charlotte, North Carolina's Business Journal, top 25 CPA firms in the region, and he's an Inc. 5000 company. John's the author of Cracking the Code, an entrepreneur's guide to growing your business through mergers and acquisitions for pennies on the dollar, an exciting topic by itself. But today, we're going to tap John for his knowledge. When he buys companies, he has to integrate those into his own structure and ideas, and that involves multiple generations, multiple different working styles, an orientation. So, John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate you having me and looking forward to sharing some points today on the multi-generational management styles that are required in today's workforce.
So when you purchase a company and try to integrate that into your own theme and what your own vision, how do you manage different work styles? What are you encountering in the workplace?
Yeah, trying to figure out which ones are going to work for which people. So, you know, we got people that range from 22 to 80 at our current company. And as we merge people in, they just have different ways of going about styles of communication and work styles. For instance, some of our 60 plus team members are generally at the office working and they have traditional work attire. We have lots of people who still wear, you know, jackets to the office and ties as well, and business formal attire for females as well. And I think that that's a big difference, because when we look at recruiting our younger staff, the 22, 23-year-olds that are straight off of campus, they're looking for more flexibility, work from home, dress for your day. And so there's lots of different styles that just show up, if you will, for how they even present themselves at work.
Are there prejudices that exist between those generations? Look at those kids coming in and they got jeans on, or they did. Here I am wearing a shirt and tie, or vice versa. Gosh, that old stodgy guy's wearing shirt. Do you encounter that, and how do you deal with that?
I think it's always going to be a little bit of that, but I think what we have found is for the older generation, the ones that are more formal attire, we just sort of talk about, and they have really come to appreciate and realize that the way that the 22-year-old does it is just different. It's not good or bad. It's just different. And they understand that as part of our recruiting style, we're going to have to be competitive in the marketplace. And so we benchmark ourselves all the time about what are other companies doing, not just in our profession in the public accounting space, but also what are they doing in technology and other places that are going to recruit staff from us. And so they understand that the jeans and t-shirt world, if you will, is here to stay. And we call it dress for your day. So we say, you know, hey, if you've got client meetings, you should come at least business casual. If you're just, you know, got a day full of office work, feel free to dress for your day and wear jeans and a t-shirt, and that's totally acceptable.
Now, when clients come into your offices and they see some people in jeans and a t-shirt, does that create confusion in their thinking or anything like that?
You know, it doesn't create too much. I would say that most of the time, I guess our clients really appreciate what we do, because most of them say, I'm glad you're taking care of your team like that, and they don't always have to come in a suit and tie. You know, a lot of our clients are similar small to mid-sized companies, and so they're fighting the same generational issues we are. They're fighting the same attire things that we are. And so they're trying to, you know, glean any knowledge they can from how we've been successful making it work.
Do you conduct training, ongoing, regular workshops or anything for your whole team or parts of your teams?
We have done a couple. I won't say we're doing them regularly as in every 6 months or a year, but we just did a style one in January that was more on personality traits and differences, and I led that training. It was a couple hours, and specific to how you can interact with all different age groups and all different styles within the workforce. We've also outsourced some of the continuing education requirements and done that over the years. We had one about a year and a half ago that came in and did some soft skill training around communication specifically, and then they layered in some of the generational differences as well.
Did you notice any differences after conducting that kind of training? Do you see any measurable differences?
I'd love to say yes. I would say more of it is awareness. So what we've seen lately is people are putting some of their style on the side of their cubicle, not just their name or whatever, but they're putting some of the style differences and what their best communication mode is on the sides of their cubes, which helps other people understand, you know, where they're at and what they're doing. And then the other thing that we found is that especially the older generation has been significantly more receptive to the reasons behind the generational differences and why, if we're going to lead the way, we have to be accepting of jeans and t-shirts as an example.
Let's follow that down that rabbit hole for a second. Why do you think that the older generation is more accepting and incorporating these ideas as opposed to the other generations, X, Y, Z?
I think they are in a stage and phase in life where it's about legacy and legacy building for them. And they believe that, you know, they're trying to leave it in a better place. And so I think they're not having to deal with some of the other challenges, and they're at a place where they're very comfortable in their career and they're not worried about those sorts of things. And so instead they're looking to provide leadership and experience sharing to the younger generation.
What are some of the challenges of the younger generation as you see it in your workplace?
I would say that as an employer, the challenges are making sure that in today's low unemployment environment, that we're being competitive in some of the alternative work environments we're providing. So we work a lot of hours in the accounting profession from February 1st to April 15th, but trying to make sure that they have a lot of flexibility in how they work those hours, when they work those hours, so that they can still get to, you know, see their friends at night or go to the local pub on a Friday night or whatever it might be, or it's going to see their kids at, you know, the kindergarten play at 12 o'clock on a Friday. I mean, whatever those things might be. And then during the summer, from April 16th to December 31st, we've gotten in the habit for years now of closing the office at 12 on Fridays. And we feel like that gives a lot of flexibility and a lot of time back to our team. And especially the younger generation really appreciates that, because that's something that gives us a competitive advantage in the accounting profession.
Interesting. Very interesting. The last question I have is, what are some of the perks of having multiple generations within the workforce? It would seem that the communications might be difficult, but there are other sides of the coin, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest is collaboration of many ideas, because the way that the 60 to 80-year-old processes information and their experience versus the 22 or 23-year-old in the, you know, Google age of things, where they can basically, you know, have grown up with the answers at their fingertips. The combination of those two things is really powerful, and getting them in a room to share ideas and watching it go both ways, both from a, you know, the older generation providing leadership and the younger generation providing some new idea and bouncing the ideas off each other, it provides a lot of collaboration and exchange of information that I think you get to a better result at the end than if certain generations were excluded from the decision-making process.
Well, exclusion never breeds teamwork, does it?
No, that's absolutely correct.
Is there any final thought you'd like to share, John Bly, with our audience on taking, as you have, the entrepreneurial leadership approach to but the multi-generation style? If you were going to talk to other business owners, your peers, what would you tell them the most important things to do are?
I would say it's to talk about the differences, you know, in groups, and let everybody know that they should be aware of the differences, and you should go out of your way to act the way somebody wants to be treated. For instance, when I'm thinking about sending a message to a 22-year-old, I'm thinking it's probably a text message. We have an internal software where we have a messaging communication platform. I'm thinking it's probably that. If it's one of my 65 to 80-year-old team members, I'm going to pick up the phone and call them. They're probably going to appreciate that a lot differently than if I just sent them an email or a text or a message. And so consciously being aware of that and trying to communicate in the mode the person receives the best, I have found is the best way to collaborate with the different generations.
I have one more question. It's concerns replacement. I had a podcast last week with a consulting firm working with C-level and boards. And one of the things they said was that the younger people, because of the financial pressures of paying off college and all of that, are looking for 25 cents on the dollar. They'll move, or if the perks aren't right, if they're not. Do you find that high turnover at that level as well?
It's definitely high. Our numbers are significantly below the industry average, which is good, but it is high. We average about 11%. The industry average is about 18% the last decade. But the reasons we've been able to hold more of that age group is generally because of the flexibility. We've had people who another spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a loved one has moved and has worked with us remotely. I mean, that's something that we try to be very proactive on, to say, just because you're moving doesn't mean, you know, you have to leave us. And so do you want to work remotely? Is that something you want to continue to do? I mean, we can come into the office once a month, once every couple months, you know, and so we work with people on some of those flexible things as it relates to, you know, young children. There's certainly different flexible options. So we have somebody who's coming back from maternity leave here in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we're already talking about what are the types of flexibility they're going to need. Okay, they want to work a few more nights to make up some of their time, and they want some of that 2 to 5 p.m. time back. Okay, we can work with that. And so understanding that one size doesn't have to fit all gives us better retention.
Flexibility, it's the name of the game. Folks, we have spent a wonderful few minutes here with John Bly, founding member of LBA Haynes Strand. John, thank you so much. And I see another podcast coming on just the entrepreneurial side of purchasing.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. John, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.